Next speaker is Samantha Heath. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm glad to see I'm the only silly Californian with a sleeveless dress on this cold day. But we can turn to some warmer topics. The picture you see here in your background, I'll use the mouse, is a field in Cambodia in Southeast Asia where millions of people are drinking groundwater with arsenic in it, naturally occurring arsenic, at levels significantly higher in some places than the WHO suggested limit. And what I'm going to talk about is arsenic cycling within this very wet, dry cycling sort of soil profile. And in this schematic, you see a little cartoon that gives you a quick background of how this might be happening. You have a soil profile here, and when it floods during the wet season, you have arsenic that is in the aqueous phase, can absorb onto the solid phase, onto things such as iron and manganese oxides. And with time and some carbon put into the soil profile, the arsenic is released off of the solid phase when bacterial reduction causes iron manganese reduction. And then your arsenic that was absorbed onto the slag phase is subsequently released into the aqueous phase again and transport it down into the groundwater. And then we can go back to the dry season where oxygen can penetrate into these soil profiles and your iron and manganese can be reoxidized and then forming the solid phase, iron and manganese oxides again. And keeping in mind that manganese oxides are very strong oxidants, can oxidize things like arsenic, and that can help transform the more mobile arsenic 3 to the oxidized arsenic 5. So we can imagine there's multiple scales to look at this issue. So first we have a soil profile, and there are things such as plants, and plants have roots, and roots pump down oxygen into your soil profile. And we can zoom into that profile, and soils are made of aggregates, and these aggregates are composed of things like iron and manganese oxides. And then we can zoom in even more and look at the actual mechanisms that are controlling the arsenic oxidation and adsorption of arsenic. And the main point here that I want you to get out of my talk is a lot of past studies have been looking at arsenic interactions with iron or with manganese individually, but I'm throwing them all together and then we're going to see what happens. So first, we're going to start with some natural samples and kind of see what the spatial distribution of arsenic, iron, manganese are in a Mekong Delta soil. So we went into Cambodia and went to a rice field where it was during the dry season, you have very aerated surface soils. We took a little aggregate and made a thin section and threw it on X-ray fluorescence mapping. And what you're gonna see is manganese is gonna show up as green, arsenic is blue, and iron is red. And this is what it looks like. Right here, this black zone is where a root used to go through, and so oxygen was being pumped into this zone. And we can see that surrounding this area is a pretty high accumulation of manganese. And then we also have this halo of arsenic associated with iron. And then if we can do zanes, which tells us the speciation of arsenic at different points within this map, all of these points that are surrounding this root zone showed up as arsenic 5. So that's your natural samples. Let's see if we can pick apart what might be the mechanisms that are happening. So to do that, we look at it at the aggregate system. And we did it by making this synthetic aggregate. And the synthetic aggregate is this little ball. It's about this big, 2.5 centimeters in diameter. And it's made of iron oxide-coated sand as ferrohydrate-coated sand and bernasite-coated sand. And we sorbed it, pre-sorbed it with arsenic 5, fused it all together with some agarose, and then put in some Schuonella, which is a arsenic, iron, and manganese reducing bacterium. And then we stuck it in this reactor, pumped in some air, and fed it some food, and let it run for about 48 days, and this is what we get. So we have our aggregate, and what you're gonna see is another X-ray fluorescence map that shows the exterior to the middle to the interior of the sphere after these 48 days. And keeping in mind that we have oxygen flowing on the outside, so you have advective flow on the outside of this aggregate. So here's a little schematic to keep you oriented. And we're going to see the exterior here, the oxygen flows on the exterior and the interior of your thin section. So shown here is iron is in red and manganese is in green. And you see there's this transition zone right here where pretty much all of the manganese on the inside is depleted from bacterial reduction. And it's accumulating on the outside, kind of similar to what we saw in the natural sample. You have this accumulation of manganese on the outside. And the cool part is now we can look at what's happening with the arsenic. And here's the arsenic map, where arsenic 3 is showing up in green, so the interior of the aggregate is all reduced, but then as we go toward the exterior, you have significantly higher concentration of arsenic 5. So if we look at the spatial distribution of iron and arsenic versus manganese and arsenic, the correlation plots show as arsenic counts increase on this map, you have higher occurrence of iron. So where you see arsenic, you also see iron and vice versa. But if you look at as arsenic counts increase, manganese decreases. So where you see arsenic, you don't see manganese. So let's summarize this in a schematic of what might be happening. You have your arsenic adsorbed onto your iron oxides, and your arsenic is also adsorbed on your bernicite, coated sand. And we put in some bacteria that can reduce the arsenic on the iron, and then that's reoxidized by your bernicite and then reabsorbed onto the iron oxide coated sand. And the same thing with arsenic that's adsorbed onto your bernicite can be also reduced, reoxidized by that same manganese oxide, and seems to be redistributed back onto the iron oxide coated sand. So we can dig even deeper into these mechanisms and really pick it apart by using something called a Donnan reactor. And how this works is you have two chambers separated by a permeable membrane, and some species can cross and some can't. And in this case, arsenic can pass through, but the two oxides, the iron oxide on the right and the manganese oxide on the left, stay in their respective chambers. So I made one of these reactors out of PVC piping, and we put the manganese on the left and the iron on the right, and then doped in arsenic 3, reduced arsenic on both sides, and let it stir with some buffer in the background. And this is what it looks like in real life. And the amount, the mass of iron, the honey mustard, and the barbecue sauce on the left is normalized by the surface area. So all the graphs you're going to see for the next few slides, just to keep you oriented, or your bernicite data is going to be, your manganese oxide data is going to be on the left, and your iron is on the right. So for the bernicite side, we see that pretty much all of the arsenic is oxidized immediately, where the black dots is arsenic total, and the white squares are arsenic 5, and it traces the total. So you have immediate oxidation of your arsenic 3. But then if we look at what's happening in the goethite side, you have this slow increase of arsenic 5 and a slow decrease of arsenic 3. And we can see the same pattern if we do speciate the solid phase, where on the bernicite side, from the very beginning, we have all arsenic 5. And then the same sort of pattern on the goethite side, where we have this slow increase adsorption of arsenic 5 and the desorption of arsenic 3 over time. And then if we look at how much is adsorbed onto the solid phase, then I ran this at multiple concentrations, and I'm showing you what happens at the very highest concentration and the lowest concentrations that I tested. And on the left side, we have the highest concentration, and the right side, we have the lowest. And what happens is, at the higher concentration, you have more adsorption of arsenic onto the bernicite solid phase. But for the lower concentration, you see more on the goethite. So what does this mean? It means that bernicite has a higher number of medium affinity sites. And then when you put in less arsenic, Goethite wins because you have a lower number of very high affinity sites. So again, we can summarize those reactions in this little schematic. So you have your bernicite and then your goethite, and then we doped in our arsenic 3 onto both sides. And immediately you're having oxidation of your arsenic 3 by the bernicite. And on the right side, you had some adsorption of arsenic 3 onto your goethite. And that arsenic 5 on the bernicite side can adsorb onto the solid phase. But because of chemical equilibrium, you have arsenic 5 that's been oxidized going through your membrane into the goethite side. And then subsequently, to balance that same chemical reaction, you have your arsenic 3 going back into the bernicite side, therefore closing the cycle until you have all arsenic 5 in the end. And then you see a distribution of what's going on to the solid phase, that at high concentrations, you have more arsenic on your bernicite, but then when you have lower concentrations, you have more arsenic adsorbing onto your goethite. And with that, I'd like to thank Sam Webb at SSRL and Matthew Marquez and Peter Nico at ALS for helping us with all the X-ray fluorescence mapping, and everybody at Stanford. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Samantha?
Yes.
Have you done any kind of surface speciation of the manganese? Can you speculate on what's happening with manganese special speciation?
During the Donen reaction, the last, or any of it? I haven't, We did do a new experiment where we put Schuonella on one side of the chamber to reduce the arsenic and bernicite on the other to oxidize it, and we saw a huge accumulation of manganese too over time. So I think there is probably manganese too in the system, but that it's being reoxidized and then adsorbed back onto the bernicite side. Because when we look at, when we do a solid phase digestion of the iron, we don't see any manganese getting across.
Other questions?
Sure. Yeah, so actually, I ran all of the lower concentrations first, and they were all consistent with goethite winning, you know. And then I ran this extra high concentration one and found that out. So I'm planning on testing, like you're saying, how to like thoroughly explain that part of it to prove. But I haven't run any further experiments yet on that aspect. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
What is the filter that separates the two sides of the Donen cell?
It's a really thin polycarbonate, it's just a millipore filter.
Anything else? Okay, thank you, Samantha.
Thank you.